Money FM 89.3, the best of Saturday mornings. Wide World on Money FM 89.3.
Just back from a 1,000-kilometer expedition to Mongolia, the Gobi Desert Winter 2024 expedition. Our good friend of the show, Christine Amour-Lavar, the founder and CEO of Her Planet Earth and co-founder of Investors for Climate, joining us on the line now. Christine, you have been a busy lady.
Thank you, Glenn. Thanks, Neil. Lovely to be back on the show, as always.
Wonderful. Now, Glenn missed out one key part, the word camel. So let's just clarify, what did you actually do on a camel?
So first of all, they're not just any kind of camel. They're Bactrian camels, so they're very special, indigenous to the Gobi Desert. They're built a high elevation type of desert. The desert's actually 1,500 meters above sea level, a very cold and windy desert. So the Bactrian camels are actually double humped, not to confuse with the dromedaries you find in the Middle East. And they are very furry and stay warm, can last 2-3 weeks without drinking any water, and very sturdy to go across kind of rock and sand and even some mountainous parts of the Gobi. They're fantastic animals.
And that's just because of the harshness of the environment there.
Yes, exactly. So they've adapted, obviously. You know, herding communities use them to transport their girls and their all their, you know, their possessions as they follow the sheep and the goat that they themselves take care of. So we rode them. We chose to ride them as an added challenge. And not just walking, we galloped and trotted, and it was quite a fun experience, actually.
And just to clarify, because I'm looking at here, 1,000 kilometers, was that the distance you covered?
So actually, Glenn didn't get that quite correct.
Oh, sorry.
The Gobi Desert is 1,500 kilometers wide, but we actually did a section of the Gobi, because to do, you know, that kind of distance would have taken us months and months to go for 10 days, and I think I sent him the press release. We've done 100 kilometers, 15 women from around the world did a section of the Gobi in winter conditions, so quite tough in terms of temperature.
That's still an achievement. 100 kilometers on a camel in the Gobi Desert.
In the winter.
In the winter, 15 women. That's some achievement.
Sorry about the extra zero. I stand
no
corrected.
Problem.
Now, Christine, we're talking with Christine Amour-Lavar. You did this for the Nature Conservancy, and you took a group of 15 women with you to do this. Tell us about why and how and what you were hoping to achieve.
Sure. So, yes, we did raise funds for a wonderful charity called the Nature Conservancy. They operate in 70 countries around the world. They protect biodiversity, and I chose to raise funds for their work in Mongolia specifically. So the genesis of this was that actually I met the global CEO of the Nature Conservancy when she came through Singapore last year, Jennifer Morris, and I was very impressed by her. She's ex-Conservation International, a charity that I also support. I had spent time in Namibia, where I was about to head out for an expedition, and had lived in Japan, where I also went to university. So we had a lot in common, and I was quite inspired by her vision for the work they're doing protecting 30% of biodiversity in many parts of the world, but especially in Mongolia at the moment. That's on the agenda for them. And I'd always wanted to go back. So I've led an expedition to the Altai Mountains of Mongolia 5 years ago for my other NGO, Women on a Mission. We took 14 women to ride across wild ponies, summited 2 mountains there to raise funds for women survivors of war. And I always wanted to go back and discover the Gobi Desert, so another part of Mongolia, which is the southern part. And interestingly enough, when I was there 5 years ago, I sat on a plane next to a guy from the Nature Conservancy and learned about their inspiring work there. And so the seed was planted. And when I met Jennifer, it all started triggering. And there's a camel festival also happening around that time. And this is how I set up, you know, this expedition, and then quickly hired the tour operators and got the women to come in on board with us. So 15 women from around the world. So that's the background before this expedition.
No, it's wonderful. As you say, $50,000, I believe you raised?
Yes, correct. We're at 94%. We're almost there, but we're actually planning a documentary filming, because we had an amazing filmmaker with us as well on this trip, Jackie Hawkins.
Who's I know Jackie very well. She's actually been on the show, as a matter of fact.
Of course. I'm sure she would have. She's done some amazing things with her career.
Oh, wonderful. I just want to elaborate. You mentioned the Nature Conservancy several times. What does it actually do? A little bit more context. I know it works in biodiversity, but I'd be fascinated to know what they do and where they do it.
So they do a lot, actually. You know, originally they were a joint charity with Conservation International, and many years ago they split up, and because there was so much work to be done protecting biodiversity all over the world. So their efforts are really to look at different parts of the world and then ensure that, you know, big corporations like the mining groups and people who are drilling for oil and gas and all that are not doing it where they, you know, everywhere free for all. People need to stand up and protect the lands of ancestral people and herding communities and indigenous people. So they are really at the forefront of working with government. So, for example, in Mongolia, they're working very closely with the Mongolian government and pulling in either other NGOs like the WWF. It's specifically to protect 30% by 2030. It's a vast country, Mongolia, with only about 3 million people, and really putting pressure on governments to put restrictions on certain corporations so that they cannot just mine anywhere, disrupting the grasslands, disrupting the herding community. So they work very closely with different community leaders. So when we were there, we met with two women community leaders who actually advocate for herding families and herding communities, you know, in terms of protecting their lands and making sure that, you know, they are also working with the best information in terms of where they should move their herds when there are droughts or when, you know, the weather changes, because of course it affects the vegetation. So there's so much work to be done, and they're trying to get more funding, of course, for the work they do around the world.
Yeah. It's funny, the Nature Conservancy, the predecessor started in about 100 years ago in the U.S.
Oh, really?
And I actually was a contributor in the 1980s when I was in university. I, you know, did my $20 a year or whatever it was at that
Wonderful.
Time when I was living in L.A. But I honestly have not been in touch with the organization in quite a number of years now. But it's great to see that they're doing so much work around so many places.
Actually, Glenn, they just set up an office in Singapore, so you should invite the team on the show.
That's a great
idea. Absolutely.
Yeah,
put us in touch, Christine.
Thanks.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah. Christine, when you were out there, you know, so much was going on, I'm sure, for you guys. That was just a visual feast and the cold and the probably not a very comfortable ride on the camels, I would imagine, at some certain points. But what really struck you about the need, the people there? Now, they're nomadic herders. They know how to get on with their business. You know, Mongolians are very hardy people. Do they really need your help, I guess, is the clearest way I can put it, in a world that they have been occupying for thousands of years or a thousand years?
That's a great question, actually. You know, so the first stop for us when we arrived in Ulaanbaatar at minus 20 degrees was actually the office of the Nature Conservancy to touch base with the team there. I had met some of them at COP28 in Dubai, so it was really good to reconnect with them and introduce the team. And, you know, we really looked at, they did a presentation for us, talked about the different areas of their work. But of course, the key problem that is happening in Mongolia is that herding way of life is basically dwindling. As people move towards the city to look for work, it's a harsh life.
Yeah.
You know, you're there with the elements, you're trying to take care of your sheep or your goat, you know, and your cattle. As the nature is changing, as drought, for example, takes over and certain grasslands get affected, it's a difficult life for them. So actually preserving and making them more resilient to the changes in the climate is really a top priority for organizations like the Nature Conservancy, which is also aligned with what I'm trying to do with Her Planet Earth, is to preserve that way of life, which is actually shrinking as people are just trying to, you know, they give up on this kind of life because it's so difficult. You know, sometimes when there are problems with the herd, if they catch a virus, you know, everything is wiped out. If the weather changes dramatically, which it is happening more and more with climate change, the rate of change is increasing in terms of, for example, you know, snow melting before the season, causing the basically water floods all the fields. And then as it freezes up again, the animals can't get to the food. And so thousands die prematurely because the weather is not acting the way it had, you know, for many years. So that's happening not just in Mongolia, but when we were trekking also in Siberia with reindeer herders, we saw that problem. And so as a result, their way of life is very vulnerable. So some of the funds that we're raising are going to help local communities with handicraft training, you know, so that they can build those livelihoods, for example, and also provide more research for the innovative livestock management, you know, giving them information that, you know, we have available to help them move their herds in the right location, deal with the weather changes, better nutrition for their herds so that they don't perish when things are difficult. So all this, you know, helps try to build that livelihood and that strength of livelihood so that they can preserve the culture. It's really part of the culture of Mongolia and survive in more difficult conditions.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Wonderful. Well, Christine, as a writer, you tell me 15 women on camels in the Gobi Desert in winter, I see a drama, I see a comedy, I see a thriller.
A dramedy.
there's
a dramedy.
Yeah, there is so much potential. I mean, there's just so much potential.
There was a bit of everything.
Exactly. Well, that was going to be my question. Give us some of the highs and lows.
Oh my gosh! First of all, it was an amazing group of women. You know, some from Singapore, from Sri Lanka, from Sweden. We had a Swedish actress with us as well, Eva Rose. You know, people from different parts of the region coming together, all ages, backgrounds, and nationalities. It's always very exciting when we get together. And obviously, we've been chatting on the WhatsApp chat for many months. And so even though they haven't met each other, big embraces. And, you know, people are dealing with, you know, camels that are not, you know, responding to them or bus. You know, the weather was super cold and windy at the Gobi. You know, it started with minus 20 in Ulaanbaatar, but when we got south, it got a little bit warmer, but still, with wind factor was minus 10 easily in the morning.
Yeah.
So yeah, just lots of, you know, issues with equipment. Somebody's shoe broke, the sole fell off. There's always one that has that problem coming from Singapore with the humidity on the equipment. But generally, everybody got along, you know, lots of tears. And we didn't want to leave. It's such a beautiful country. And it's the only country where I've led two expeditions because I love it so much. And I don't think it will be the last time.
Yeah. Now, Christine, I understand you're heading off on another trip tomorrow. Is that correct? What are you doing?
So actually, next week, it's not an expedition. Next week, I'm going to Australia for a climate conference in Melbourne.
Oh.
So as a speaker, my next expedition is with my other NGO, Women on a Mission, will be to the Arctic. We're going to Svalbard, and we have a kayaking expedition with the glaciers up there to raise funds for women survivors of war. So that will be end of August.
Now, Selmer, isn't that where they have the seeds stored?
That's right. That's right. Actually, Temasek also has some of their seeds there for specific rice. And there's a lot of polar bears up there. Obviously, more polar bears than people, so that should be interesting.
Yeah.
So that will be end of August. Yeah.
When you look around and you've been to so many of these places, what do you think is important for Singaporeans or people living in Southeast Asia to know about some of these remote locations where they maybe have not been or will ever have a chance to get to?
Well, I mean, travel is always, you know, so good for the soul, so good for education, so good for connecting with other people. So I think whether you're Singaporean or from any part of the world, I mean, I would encourage, I have four children, right? So I hope they end up traveling and seeing the world, because once you see other cultures, you see the beauty of nature beyond where you're living, it transforms you, right? And it motivates you to do more and maybe to protect other, you know, livelihoods that are dying out, or it gives you ideas for new businesses. There's so much inspiration that you can get from nature. So of course, I encourage everyone, if you're able to find a way to travel through work or through leisure or through charity expeditions. I mean, it's life-changing. It was life-changing for me when I started 12 years ago.
Mm. And let's just recap, Christine. You are the founder and CEO of Her Planet Earth. Just give a recap of what you actually do there.
Yes, absolutely. So actually, I founded Her Planet Earth about 7 years ago, and it is to take all female teams on expeditions to raise funds for charity partners that focus on conservation and strengthening the resilience of women impacted by climate change. Because if you look around the world, especially in Asia and in some parts of Central Africa, women are actually the ones that are tending to the crops. There is a phenomenon called the feminization of agriculture. As men go to the cities to look for jobs, women and children are left to tend to the crops and tend for themselves. And as the climate is changing more rapidly because of the onset of climate change, they are actually at the forefront of what is happening. Their livelihoods and crops are often affected. And so my intention is to rally groups of women to challenge themselves physically, mentally, emotionally through these expeditions, but of course raise really valuable funds and awareness for these charities on the ground. So we've supported, you know, the work of UN Women through agriculture projects. We've supported the Sulbai Foundation in the Philippines with coral restoration. Conservation International, I mentioned earlier, is one of my charity partners. We supported and funded for their work in Africa, in Kenya in particular, finding jobs. Our funds went to support jobs in elephant conservation, so caring for baby elephants that had been rescued, or looking for jobs for women rangers, not just men rangers. So basically strengthening the resilience of livelihoods of women and being kind to nature at the same time. So that's the idea behind Her Planet Earth.
Well, Christine, we just hope that at some point you learn how to be more productive in life and get more things done.
Yeah, stop wasting your time.
Yeah, really. You need to get off the couch more often.
I know, right?
I'm always so impressed every time we talk and bump into each other of all the great things you're doing to support other communities.
Thank you
for that. We look forward to having you back on the show next time you're able to come on into the studio and tell us about maybe your Arctic expedition as well.
Thank you both so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And you guys are doing a wonderful job. You know, I enjoyed the last interview you had, you know, as well, just before me, giving voice to entrepreneurs. And you're doing a lot as well by highlighting a lot of the good projects out there.
Well, thank you so much. Have safe travels. And our
thanks to
Christine Amor-Lavar, founder of CEO and CEO of Her Planet Earth and co-founder of Investors for Climate. Take good care.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.